Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we turn aside from the busy world with its clamor and distractions, quieten our hearts, Lord, in your presence, that we may be still and know that you are God. As we delve upon your word, Lord, may the meditation of our hearts and the words from my lips be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, we pray. Amen. Time is precious. We really are not here on this earth for very long. And sometimes I think we are like when we go and turn the light switch, and then the bulb is short and no more. And one day it will eventually happen. The average lifespan of men in Britain is 78. And the average lifespan of women in Britain is 86. And I'm 80 and I'm blessed. And we are blessed that we are all here in the presence of the Lord, even our beloved Pastor Key. So how can we make the most of time we have? We can make the most of time we have left on earth by making the most of our walk with God. Many people live carelessly, not giving much thought about their relationship with God. One day we will all stand before the Creator of this universe. The question that demands an answer is, will this God be your Heavenly Father who will receive you as a forgiven child? Will this God be who will receive you and judge you or expel you to eternal punishment? To make the most of your walk with God, it is essential that you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior. Apart from Christ, there is no walk with God. Apart from Christ, there is no saving relationship with God. To the person who is outside of God's saving grace, we urge them to come to Jesus. He is ready to receive you. Let us find Jesus, our Savior, this day and every day. Don't be a careless Christian who lives day by day with no thought of a deeper walk with God. Don't settle for, I know nothing, I feel nothing, I want nothing. I would seriously question whether I was a believer if I did not know more about Christ. I would seriously question my salvation if I did not feel and sense God's presence from time to time. It's not that our faith is based on feelings, but I should have some sense of God at work in my life. I would seriously question my salvation if I did not want anything at all from the Lord. I would seriously question where I stand with God if I did not desire anything of the Lord. In someone we have a sense, a plea for a deeper, more solid, more productive walk with God. The person who has a close walk with God is called blessed. Like this first psalm, Jesus also presents that his followers be blessed. You remember the famous Sermon on the Mount begins with the promise, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. So how can we make the most of our walk with God? How can we have a blessed walk? To make the most of our walk with God, we will need to look carefully at the directions and the important questions. Three questions. First, Look around. Look around. How are you influenced? There are two possible ways in verse 1 and 2 that we can be influenced. Either we are influenced with godly influence or with ungodly influence. We need to look around and ask ourselves the questions, how are we being influenced? We are surrounded by all kinds of influence, aren't we? What are we allowing to influence us, to shape us, to mold us? First, the ungodly influence. You don't have to teach kids to be bad. They learn that quite well. We are by nature the children of wrath. We must be delivered from wrath. Thanks God, it is Christ who has rescued us and made us a child of God. Yet we must beware of ungodly influences. It gets worse and worse. Note the stages of ungodliness that is in our world today. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Walk speaks of a direction we are going. Turning from the ungodly counsel. Don't go in that direction. Some folks start each day by reading their horoscope. Terrible. That's the counsel they get each day. It's an ungodly counsel. Horoscope, stars. Some people will consult some psyche that they hear heard on television. There's a psyche woman. Some folks will listen to a talk show and get counsel how to deal with everyday life. Terrible. Some folks will buy a magazine just to read some ungodly counsel that's not worth the paper it's printed on. When we go in the direction of worldly wisdom and forsaking godly wisdom, we are ungodly influences. And he says, standing in the way of sinners. After we go in the direction of seeking advice from the ungodly, we move from consulting ungodly to identifying with the godly. Standing speaks of how we now identify with the way of sinners. We are not opposing their viewpoint, we are embracing what they say. At first we walk to the ungodly to listen to what they say. Now we don't only walk with them, we stand where they stand. We identify with their position. There's only one position that's worth having, and that is God's position. There's only one viewpoint that's worth having, and that's God's viewpoint. Everything else must go into the trash can. And then sitting in the seat of the scornful. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. By whom we mean proud and haughty persons in opposition to the humble and lowly. Such who are proud of their natural abilities, their knowledge, their wisdom, of their honors and their riches, of their own righteousness. They despise others. Oh, such who are desperate in wickedness, of whom there is no hope. Such are the leaders of the nations in some countries. Such were the scribes and Pharisees in Christ's time. They derided him and in his doctrine. They scoffed at him when he hung upon the cross and despised him and his apostles and his gospel. Are we settled in the recliner of worldly wisdom? The first step away from the blessing of Christian joy is to listen to worldly advice. The next step is to act on worldly advice. The final step is to own it as the ultimate truth. To sit in it, to rest in it. That is a hardened, ungodly attitude. And sitting speaks of a resting place. We have landed on a position that feels very comfortable with. We first just walk around some ungodly counsel. When we begin to stand around in ungodly counsel, then we adopt it as our own. Now we sit down and make our seats. We sit in the seat of the scornful. We embrace ungodliness and scoff and mock at everything that is holy and godly. Yes, we need to look around us and ask this question, how are we being influenced? Television has helped to make a nation of scoffers. Does television influence you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. There are millions and millions of dollars spent on advertisement. Why? Because advertisement has influence on what kind of cereal you eat, the kind of toothpaste you buy, the kind of truck, the car that you will drive. We are influenced what we see on television. Look around. How are you being influenced? Maybe today your circumstances have robbed you of your joy. But let us point to the voice of God as we hear it in the verses. Let His compassionate word to you today penetrate your heart and your mind. Hear His answer. It may not change your circumstances, but it will change you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What robs us of Christian joy? Listening to the lies of the world around us. Have we given credit to the advice of the world over the voice of God? Listen to the voice of God. Blessed is the man who standeth not in the way of the sinners. It's one voice to hear the voice of the world. It's another voice to hear and stand up and accept it. Have we accepted the world advice to the truth? Have we robbed of our joy? Listen to God's voice. Blessed is he who sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. The progression, you see, the progression from walking to standing to sitting reminds us that we take the first step away from the godly, Christ-centered way. It robs us of the blessing of Christian joy. This is why Jesus said, abide in me. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. Any branch that cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in me, the vine, no more can ye accept. He abide in me, Jesus said. Jesus, in all that he taught us, is our life-giving stream. Yes, people who are open to Jesus, who are willing to follow his instruction, no matter what the cost, are like trees planted beside a life-giving stream. They are never without a resource to sustain their lives under any circumstances. So what is the godly influence? But the delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. How do you come to delight in the word of God? 1 Peter 2:2-3. Let me read to you. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You see, your appetite is for the Lord and his word. It will become dull if it has tasted too much of this world. So get back to God's word. Keep on allowing the word of God to speak to you. Pray and ask the God to give you a hunger for his word. If we are exposed to godly influence, it will be found in the living scripture, the word of God. And meditate on God's word. It's not enough just to read words from the Bible. There must be some passages that will allow you to get into your thinking and shape your thoughts into the mind of Christ. In Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. This is more than just reading casually through the Bible. There are truths that must be internalized. There are some verses that must be memorized, or at least become so familiar that we know where they are in the Bible and we can say the verse almost word by word. Meditating on God's Word means rehearsing God's Word in your mind. The Bible does not say if you read this book, you'll be happy and successful. It does not say if you listen to this book, look through this sermon, or hear this sermon, you'll be happy and successful. It says if you meditate on it, if you meditate on it, you'll be filled with joy. Meditating means I think over and over again what it means in my life. I consider it and consider its implications for my life. As we fill our mind with God's Word, it begins to change us. We stop seeing ourselves as other people see us, or as we have seen ourselves, and we begin to see ourselves as God does. That's where the change takes place. How can we stay clean in a world that influences us in the wrong way? Meditate. Meditate on this verse. Psalm 119:9. Let's read Psalm 119:9 as we are on it. Psalm 119:9. Psalm 119, verse 9. And it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto according to thy word. Again in John 15:3 it says, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And in John 17:7, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I've given you the references in your insert. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Yes, we can make most of our walk with God by making much of His Word. Secondly, look inside. Look around you. Now look inside. What are you becoming? How are you influenced in what we become in character? Look inside your heart. Look inside where you really live. Ask yourself, what kind of person am I becoming? You see, the blessed life is described as a tree planted by a stream, a fruitful tree which will provide shade to all who come under. We read that the righteous person is like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Planted by the tree, bringeth forth fruit, his leaves shall not wither, and he shall prosper. Jesus also drew upon the imagery of a growing plant to describe to his followers. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, that same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. John 15:5. The next thought then is everyone who remains and follows Jesus is blessed. Take note of the place where the tree has been planted, by the streams of water. For Jesus gives us the life-giving stream. People who are open to Jesus and His instructions are like the trees planted beside a source of water. They are never without a resource to sustain their lives under any circumstances, no matter how tough life gets, no matter how insurmountable the problem may seem. Jesus Christ provides the source of new life. Even if I'm planted in Jesus Christ, whatever I do does not prosper sometimes. My life is not always fruitful. And my joy sometimes fluctuates. But he says the person who delights in God's word and she who meditates on God's word will become like a tree planted by the source, rivers of water. That is the source of true happiness. You are refreshed and nourished when you are planted by the rivers of waters, not on your own. For in by when you are planted on the rivers of waters, you become fruitful, bringing forth fruit in his season. You will be a fruitful person. A fruitful person are refreshing, nourishing to be around. Their words are healing, convincing, encouraging. A man that bringeth forth fruit in his season appears to be a tree of righteousness, filled with the fruit of righteousness, the grace of the Spirit, the good works which are brought forth under the influence of grace. He's durable. His leaf shall not wither. The hot winds may blow and the rain does not fall. This person is planted by the rivers of waters. He is planted in God's word, and while other people are withering away, he remains nourished, strong, and vibrant in faith. Regardless of which way the wind blows, he is planted in the word of God. He delights and meditates on the word day and night. He is durable. His leaves shall not wither. Neither tree nor fruit nor leaves shall wither, shall you always be green. They are like Christ, grafted in Christ, the true vine, and abide in him, from whom they have their nourishment. For Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You see, they are rooted and planted in him, and established in the faith of him. So hold fast to Jesus Christ without wavering, and you will prosper. Whatever he does, prosper. What a life. Not only is the believer blessed by God in Christ also with blessings, because whatever he does prospers. And whatever he does shall prosper, meaning not so much in things temporal, but for which this good man does always succeed, but in things spiritual. Whatever he does in faith, from love to the glory of God and the name of Christ, prosper. In the final verse, final line of verse 3, let me read the final line of verse 3. And whatever he does shall prosper. Whatever he does shall prosper. Sometimes following Jesus, some people mean it to be materially rewarded. Instead, to prosper in all they do should be viewed through the eyes of faith. It is not outward prosperity. It's a prosperity of the soul. Often it is for the health of the soul that we find our health. Often it is for the health of our soul, sometimes, that we may suffer hardship. It's for the health of soul that sometimes we may be in upheaval. It's for the health of soul that we are sometimes harassed by life and circumstances. But there are blessings wrapped up in the misfortunes of a righteous person. So the prosperity that the psalmist speaks about this is that God, that people who trust in God have discovered the resource of sustaining their lives under any circumstances, whether good or bad. They are experiencing life the way it is meant to be. On the surface, it may look like the world is falling down around us. On the other hand, the believer is blessed. They are blessed through time, and they are blessed into eternity. So what is blessed here in the first book of Psalms is a complete commitment to the whole self, of the whole self to God. It calls us to make a decision. Jesus called to turn around, believe the good news and enter the kingdom of God. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Then what Jesus said, that is to give up self-sufficiency and to live under the sufficiency of God. For Jesus said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Jesus promised that his followers would be blessed. As we read the Beatitudes, for despite what trouble the world can throw at them, we are blessed. It's supernatural, it's refreshing in the face of the world's view of success. Turn away from self-sufficiency. Open ourselves to God's teaching. Sink our roots deep in Him. And whatever He does shall prosper. Does that mean that if you delight in God's word and meditate in God's word, you will live like a tree and you will prosper? In Psalm 1:4, it says, God ungodly are not so, the wind drives them. The God ungodly are not so. Again, it says that. Listen to God's words, voice once again. Not so, they are the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. A godless, self-sufficient life is like chaff. It can be blown away at the slightest breeze. On the other hand, a righteous person that relies on God for everything is like a well-placed tree whose stability allows it to live and bear fruit. Are we like a tree planted? Are we like chaff that the wind blows away, listening to the world? You might fool people. That's what the insight will reveal. For you are like chaff which the wind driveth away. You are like chaff which has no root, no moisture, no fruitfulness. There's nothing in them. They are destitute of all that is good. They are vain, they are empty, without the knowledge of God, without faith in Christ. They are sensual, not giving the Spirit. They are like chaff for lightness, vain in their imaginations, light in their principles, frothy in their words, unstable in all their ways. They are never long in any position. They are unsettled, disquieted, tossed to and fro. There's no peace in them. They are like chaff, useless, unprofitable, nothing worth. It's for everlasting burners. But when Christ will gather his wheat, the righteous which are of value, he will burn the chaff, the wicked, with unquenchable fire. They are now like chaff, driven and carried away with every wind of doctrine that the world throws on them, with diverse and strange doctrines that the world produces. See, this metaphor is used in Hosea. Let me read Hosea 13:3. That the chaff shall be driven with the whirlwind out of the floor. And in Luke 3:17, Christ said, and the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the ungodly. And they can no more stand before God and against him. But look ahead, look ahead. How will we be judged? For the judgment day is coming. Will you be judged among the ungodly? The ungodly will not be able to stand on the judgment day. The ungodly shall not stand. They will not have a leg to stand on. They will not have any excuse to stand on. They have made all kinds of excuses why they can't come to church, why they can't be saved today. Excuses, excuses. But on that day, they will not be able to stand on any excuse. They won't be able to stand on their own self-righteousness. They won't be able to stand and look at God. In heaven, there will be one congregation, the congregation of the righteous. There will be no sinners in that congregation. Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. There will be one pure, holy, godly congregation. The congregation of the redeemed. The congregation of those who have washed in the blood of the Lamb that we sang this morning. If I wasn't in that congregation, what do I do? Look ahead. Look ahead how you will be judged. Those who honor God and order their lives in all things that according to His will are assembly, are in the assembly of the righteous. They have a relationship with God and they alone experience His presence both now and the life to come. They alone will be able to stand under the weight of His judgment. The self-sufficient life has nothing to rely on. It wouldn't be able to. And blessed through time and into eternity. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. It's a high calling to order your life according to the will of God. In fact, it's the highest calling. But to this highest calling is the highest blessing. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the ungodly shall perish. This tells us that the righteous are at the center of God's attention. The people, the Lord knows His people intimately, not just intellectually, but through a personal relationship with God. And the blessing is that assurance that God cares for His own, He protects them and He rewards them. Yes, let's read Psalm 37:18. Let me read to you. Psalm 37:18. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Psalm 37:18. Yes, the believer receives the Lord, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows His own. He knows their ways. It is the way of the cross. It's the way of repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. It is the only way. For the ungodly have their own way, the way of their own. The way they do as they please, the way of the world, the way of the self-righteous, the way of works, the way of man-made religion and thinking. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous, the way in which He walks by faith, which is in Jesus Christ, the way in which He goes to the Father and carries to Him His sacrifices of praise and prayer, the way in which he seeks and expects justification, pardon, and salvation through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, his walk and conversation for the righteous man is a follower of God. He takes up the cross and follows Jesus. He walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. According to the rule of the Word, it becomes the gospel of Christ. And that's the way every sense the Lord knows, the Lord approves and is well pleased with his way of faith and holiness. For the Lord knows this person. He loves him and takes delight in him and has pleasure in him. He is a blessed man. And he does prosper, and he delights in the Lord. But the ungodly shall lead to destruction and death. Poor, unhappy, wretched, and miserable to all eternity. These last words therefore show the reason of the unhappiness of one sort of man, the unhappiness of the other, and prove and confirm the same. The Lord knows, approves of, and delights in the one, but he does not approve and delight in the other. Therefore, to make the most of your walk, begin with godly influence. Godly influence will result what you are from the inside, a godly character. A godly character is what God is looking for. He's looking for his own. For the ungodly will not stand in the day of judgment. The way of the godly and the ungodly sometimes can be a very fine line. In North America, there's a courthouse that stands between the Lake of Ontario and the Gulf of St. Lawrence, you know, the two lakes. Now, if rain falls on one side, that is the south side, it will go into the Mississippi River. And if it goes on the other side, it goes on to the Gulf of Mexico. So just a little wind blows, that means the rain will either drop on this side or drop on the other side. And it makes a lot of difference where this rain will eventually land. For the flow of the river will be either this side or that side. Just one small wind. This spiritual application is clear. Because by the smallest deed or choice of words, we might set in motion influences that can change the course of others' lives here and now. By the choice of words and our behavior, we can influence the community, the people around us. So let us by deed and words reach out to the community of God's people. For the God knows the way of the righteous, and the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us reach out by words and deeds and by our behavior to the community of God's people here in Queens Park. Amen.